Good evening, councillors and the deputy mayor and guests. Please feel welcome. Today is October 28, 2025 at 6 p.m. City council meeting at the city council chambers, meeting number 15. And before we get started, we will first observe a moment of silence. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Our interpreters tonight are Andrew Diala and Lisa Apili. Thank you for coming to help us as usual. Right now, we don't have any swearing in to do. And the first order of business, the adoption of agenda. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith and seconded by Councillor Tilley. Any comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? All yes. Motion carried. Thank you. And minutes of previous meetings. City Council meeting number 14, dated October 14, 2025. We need a motion to approve. Moved by Councillor Kunuk, seconded by Councillor Tilley. Any comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. Tonight, does any councillor want to make a declaration of interest, conflict of interest? There are none. Thank you. We will move on to number three, delegations. This one is Hockey Helps the Homeless. Nunavut Alumni Classic Event on March 21, 2026. Emma Langlois. Is Emma present? Please feel welcome, Emma. The floor is yours. Thank you for coming to speak to us.
Perfect. Thank you very much for having me today. My name is Emma. I am with Hockey Helps the Homeless. You likely haven't heard of us before unless you've been catching wind of this event being planned, so I'll tell you a little bit about who we are. Hockey Helps the Homeless is a national charity that operates in southern Canada. We operate all the way from Vancouver to Newfoundland in the south, but we haven't had a chance yet to come to the north because it's very expensive, as you would know. And so we exist. Our mission is to help all Canadians have a safe place to call home and the supports they need to thrive. And we do that through the game of hockey. And so we find hockey communities across the country and we mobilize them to fundraise for people in the community who need it. For all of our events, 100% of the proceeds stay local in the communities we're raising them to support folks that need it most. And so about a year ago, just over a year ago, Rodney McIntyre, who's with the RCMP, reached out to us through our website and said, I live in Iqaluit. I've been stationed here for a while. I don't know what the fit is, but I think there is a fit here because we have a really engaged hockey community and we also have people who need the support. And so we knew our typical model, charity pro-am tournament, it's very corporately driven, might not be the right model because we've never run it in a town with, you know, a small population. And so we wanted to find a way to make this event viable and to raise some significant funds for the organizations in the community that need it, while also providing a really great hockey experience for everyone in the community, but specifically for the youth that are registered with the IAHA. And so what we've ended up doing is teaming up. Yes.
Acronym, IAHA.
The Iqaluit Amateur Hockey Association.
Sorry, I was going to mention that. We have interpreter. Acronyms, kind of difficult to interpret. Thank you. Keep going. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me know. I will avoid the acronyms. What we've done is we've teamed up with the Toronto Maple Leafs alumni and with Sportsnet to put on a charity alumni game. And so this event will be part of a whole weekend of festivities, but really the main part will be an alumni game that is the Toronto Maple Leafs alumni against what we're calling the Hockey Helps the Homeless All-Star Team. The reason we went with the Hockey Helps the Homeless All-Star Team instead of maybe a Montreal Canadiens or an Ottawa Senators was because we really wanted Jordan Tutu to be involved. So he was our first call. He's very excited about the idea. So he's going to be the captain of that Hockey Helps the Homeless All-Stars team. And then we have others confirmed for that team, including Sammy Joe Small, who was a goalie for the women's Olympic team for a long time, Terry Ryan, and a few others that are very excited about the event. We have two main goals. One is to raise significant money for the beneficiaries we're supporting. So we're supporting the Kadjuktervik Community Food Center and the Anauma Community Foundation. The thinking behind that was we'd heard really great things about the food center and the work that they're doing locally. We had a chance to connect with them and really saw the value in the work that they're doing and the services they're providing to the community. But we also wanted to make sure we weren't only supporting Iqaluit, but we were actually supporting communities around Nunavut as well. And so that's where the Anauma Community Foundation came in. We'll be supporting their community health and well-being stream and funding projects in the communities through that. 100% of our net proceeds will stay local, so we're working hard to save any dollar that we can and provide more to those charities at the end of the day and really be able to maximize our impact. At the same time, we want to make sure we're providing a great experience for the hockey community, so every single youth registered in hockey in the community will get a chance to be on the ice with pros. So we'll have sessions throughout the day on Saturday, March 21st. The first thing we'll launch with is a fan fest event, so where everyone in the community is welcome to come out and be a part of it. There'll be a chance to take photos, have autographs. We're planning to have some local vendors out, and that will all take place at the high school. We have that approved, the venue at this stage. After that fan fest, there will be at both rinks youth practices throughout the day with the alumni, and that will run from that fan fest until the evening. That evening will be the alumni game when the Leafs alumni face off against the Hockey Helps the Homeless alumni. The part that makes this all possible for us is that Sportsnet was willing to come and be a part of it. So they're going to film the experience. They're going to produce a segment that's going to air on Hockey Night in Canada. That really helps us really tell the story of this event and spread whatever message it is that the community is hoping to spread to folks across the South who are tuning into these broadcasts. But the other thing it lets us do is really drive sponsor value and bring in some organizations that are able to help us fund the experience. And so actually I have two representatives from our lead sponsor, Redjar Energy Partners, here today who are really helping to make this all possible. And we're working hard to build up that slate of sponsors to really cover all the costs of the event so that we're able to contribute as much as we can back to the community. Those are the main portions of the event, but we also are bringing the two teams of pros into Iqaluit. We are bringing along with that 10 to 15 of our top supporters from across the country who are paying to be a part of the event to help fund it. And on the Friday, we'll be doing a day of excursions for them on the Friday, working with some local outfitters to take them out on the land, to try traditional food, to have some sessions with elders and that sort of thing, and really give them the experience that they are all looking for out of this as well, get them a chance to really integrate into the community and learn what Iqaluit has to offer. We're very excited about this, and there are many moving pieces, but we've been working a lot with Rodney since he reached out and since the beginning as well, with Breton and with Solomon Ryan and a few other folks in the community, Jocelyn, who's with the Hockey Association, folks at both of the hotels in town, multiple food and beverage providers, and many folks that have, shown a lot of excitement and support for what we're trying to do here. So we're really excited about this, and we're open to any ideas and thoughts that folks have, but we really want to make this an event that serves the community in the way that the community is looking for, both through that youth engagement, but also through the funding that the event is aiming to raise. So I believe that is what I wanted to touch on today, but if anyone has any questions about the event, I'm more than happy to answer any.
Thank you, Emma. Does any counselor have a comment or question? Counselor Nata. Thank goodness she doesn't have a dog. I've never heard somebody talk as loud. Now, there are some homeless people, and there are people who are getting out of correctional centers, and they usually end up homeless in Iqaluit. Then we provide them with a shelter, and it's never enough. They never have enough rooms. And the homeless shelters are supposed to be for the people of Iqaluit, but then they end up not being used by Iqaluit, but other communities instead. They probably have a counselor at the homeless shelters. If they don't have that, then they should get counselors. I used to get asked to come and help at the RCMP and also the correctional center and also penitentiaries in southern Canada. I go when they ask me to come and speak to the inmates, but these days I haven't been doing much of that, and I haven't been invited to go in a while. And communities in the Baffin have stated that they need help too in the communities. I was planning to go to Pond Inlet, and the community has been suffering due to the high number of deaths that happened very close to each other. We have developed housing for the homeless, and we have quite a few beds in the shelter, and this fundraising will help a lot if it's going to be for that purpose as well, for the homeless. Sometimes it's hard when you're trying to raise money. And we rely on volunteers. I hope this event goes very well, and your fundraising. And Emma already mentioned the Toronto Maple Leafs alumni. I know the people will really want to watch the hockey players. Especially myself with the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's going to be good that they will teach the Iqaluit hockey players some new tricks. I know they're very good hockey players in Iqaluit. And there's quite a few young people that come here for hockey school in Iqaluit. I don't go to them, but I hear about them. So I already approve. I want to approve this whole event because they'll be raising money for a good cause.
When we get to meet in the top, then go to the Ikayokujuli Amma. Jadi kena lama juga, kerana mesti to one of Smith.
And that was a general comment. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Natak. Now it's Councillor Smith.
No question at all. Just this is seems like an incredible event, and I'm very, very much happy to be in support of this when it comes up on the agenda later on. So looking forward to it. I already put it in my calendar, so I don't miss it. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, and that's a general comment of support. Thank you. Now, Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Emma, and the organization for responding to the inquiry from our community and having the faith that we can pull this off. And Breton for, I'm sure, pulling some strings on the recreation side in the interim. Very excited for this. Definitely be in support of the request from the city, request of the city for support for that weekend. I wish my previous colleague in council, Joannes Iacumlik, was here. He's a diehard Habs fan, and I would love to see him vote in favor to bring some Maple Leafs to town. So thank you again.
We're going to make a...
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. And that is a comment of support. Thank you. This evening, as part of our agenda, we will go to that this item once we go to 9A, and we'll discuss more on this, and we will make a decision on this tonight as it's in our new business. So thank you, Emma, for taking the seat and explaining the cause. And we will probably see the alumni from Montreal and Toronto. That's exciting. Thank you. And moving along in our agenda, and let's move on. Awards and recognition, none. Statements. Next item. Councillor Natak. I wanted to make a couple statements, however. And I believe it's this time of the year, it's quite dark, so I'm just thinking about the lighting situation out in front of the city hall. Because it gets quite dark when the time comes when the sun goes down and the city hall area is not lit enough. And that's something I wanted to bring to the attention of our council tonight. I just wanted to comment on that. Also, in regard to hockey, I'll comment on that later. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With the territorial election last night, I just wanted to send my congratulations to everybody across the territory that'll be coming to Iqaluit to enter our Legislative Assembly. Some former colleagues of ours ran in the election, former Deputy Mayor, successfully re-elected. So I just want to congratulate everybody who was elected last night. Thank everybody across the territory who did run. It's no small thing to put your name forward at the territorial level for election. And just by participating in that process, you make that process work. So the effort, whether successful or not, is very much appreciated across the territory.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Any other comments? Nothing? No statements? I also wanted to mention down in Ottawa, the mayors within Canada are in a meeting right now with the federal government, with the ministers, and so they have their own delegation, and they're bringing their own concerns from their local level and they have different items that they want to bring forward, particularly with water services or with matters related to their people in their communities. And I know that federal ministers are having face-to-face meetings in some cases with those that are at the hamlets there in Ottawa. And also, we have discussed this before, and we will talk about it again in Iqaluit within Nunavut. The Nunavut Association of Municipalities will be meeting in November 11th, and you'll have a chance yourself to see that if you go there. Okay, let's move along. We're going to proceed with our meeting. I know at some point some issues are difficult and challenging. However, I also want to say thank you to the members who put their, or anyone who put their name forward to run in the Nunavut election as MLAs. So I want to say thank you to each of them. Also, as you know, the members will have a meeting to decide who they're going to have on their executive, who their ministers are going to be. And also, we will find out who the minister will be responsible for dealing with the hamlets at that point. I think that's it for now with number 5 in our agenda tonight. Let's move along. There's been no deferred business. And for bylaws number 7, we don't have any first reading of bylaws. We don't have second reading and third reading. Now, we don't have any old business. So we move along to number 9, new business. Number 9A, request for a decision, Hockey Helps the Homeless. I believe Breton McNeil, Director of Recreation, has the floor now.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mayor. Following up on Emma's presentation, the Recreation Department is seeking approval to waive the ice time and facility rental fees for the weekend of March 21st, 2026, in support of the Hockey Helps the Homeless Nunavut Alumni Classic. This total request would be an estimated 18 hours of ice time, including games, practices, and fantasy camps offered across the weekend, with an estimated total contribution value of about $2,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McNeil. And we need a mover. Councillor Stevenson moves. Seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Any questions? Councillor Tilley actually seconded. Comments? Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Alma, and thank you, Breton. This is an easy yes, but I do recognize that this is still a pretty minimal contribution from the city, and I just wonder if there's any other in-kind things that we can add to this, like staff resources, if there's going to be other things that we can help out with to other than just the ice time.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Britton?
Absolutely. I think having extra staff resources on hand, having some of our staff help out even with some of the marketing advertisement. I do know Emma and I discussed about having some of our youth center staff involved in a bit of a meet and greet at the youth center as well. So just seeing where else we could further help out support the event. I definitely think there's other opportunities besides just waiving the ice time fees as well.
Thank you, Britton. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Kenny McMarilyn, thank you. Breton, just wondering if it'd be appropriate to add to the motion ICE time and in-kind staff time donation. I don't know if there's a limit we want to set to that, but I think it'd be good to include.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd be in fully support of additional city support if needed, but if there was any volunteer opportunities for councillors that didn't require them to embarrass themselves on skates, please reach out. I'd be more than happy to help and come out at in a way that doesn't cost the city anything as well. So thanks.
Want to make Katimir Shepherd.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Councillor Stevenson.
Just following on Deputy Mayor's point, I think the fundraising dinner will likely be the place where the organization is hoping to come up with some of the funds that they're going to give to the places they're supporting. So it would be, and this doesn't have to be decided tonight, but the city would hopefully participate in that fundraising dinner as well as other organizations like QIA and NPI.
Okay.
All right then. And to the motion, any other questions, comments? Councillor Nataf? I just wanted to make a comment. I think it's great that somebody was going to bring up walrus meat and wonder if that would be nice to have that showcased when the hockey players come, to have the traditional foods, especially the walrus meat that just got caught recently. That would be quite a cultural aspect to see by the visitors. I don't think that there needs to be any response to this, but it's just a comment. And I know it would be nice to have a taste testing too. It would be something awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Kunuk. Or rather, Councillor Nata. Thank you. And I think that's going to happen in February, though, just to keep that in mind. Any questions to the motion? I see none. All those in favor? And it's carried. Thank you. On 9B now, request for decision with regards to Northview REIT request. And Peter Tumati, he is our Senior Executive Director of Corporate and Financial Services. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. So I am presenting a request from NP REIT for a decision from Council to either rebate or provide some relief to the property taxes that were assessed against the Noble House building that unfortunately burnt down on the 9th of January. So how the taxation system works, just as a quick refresher for everyone, we set the rolls in 2024 for the 2025 year, and then the taxes are assessed as of January the 1st. So you know they are liable for the taxation. Their building burned down a week later, and so they're coming to us and asking if there's any way that we can provide some relief to that. Under the Property Assessment Taxation Act, subsection 85.2, so when something burns down like it did, council can, by bylaw, and may, and it doesn't mean you have to, reduce or rebate a portion of the property taxes. So in this instance, the assessed taxes on that property was $22,978,000 on the land and $44,280,000 on the building, which the improvements, which, you know, as we all know, burned down. So for a total tax bill of $67,259.13. So you have several options. You can, you know, obviously you can refuse it. You can do a partial or full reduction of the amount of the building that was lost, or you know, the total amount of property tax assessed. It's pretty much wide open for what council may wish to do. As far as what the implications are, it doesn't set a precedent. It is something that is allowed under the Act, and your decision doesn't bind future decisions. You can make decisions, you know, however you wish to do in this respect. So what I've suggested as a staff recommendation is, should you first of all be willing to consider granting a rebate if the property tax is owed, then maybe consider that you look at the property taxes that were assessed on the actual building that was destroyed, as opposed to the entire parcel. And so that's the presentation I have. Wanted to turn it back to you for questions or comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions, comments? Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I believe taxation should be fair at all times, regardless of if you're a homeowner or a large corporate entity. And I don't think it's fair to continue taxing the full amount for a building that no longer exists. You know, while the property owner occupant still maintains benefit of the land, it's fair to tax that land portion, in my opinion, but not so for the building that does not exist. So I would be in favor of providing relief as recommended, and only, or just waiving the tax on the improvement portion of the bill. And I would make a motion to go with staff recommendation.
We're in the mic.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Okay. I can.
So the move by
Shepherd.
Move a motion to approve. Comments or questions, Councillor Nuttall? I didn't hear a seconder. I'm a little late, I know. I'm 80 years old and I own my own house. My tax is very expensive. I don't have money. I'm an Inuit, never have money. And my house cost over $500,000 to build, and I had to pay for it all right away. I paid taxes for many years of a large amount, but these days I rely on assistance from the Nunavut government. We can try to think about this, like if when you own your own home, like all houses should be insured just in case something happens. Like for example, my house is insured in case something happens. So didn't that homeowner have money set aside for this purpose, and that's why we need to pay a rebate? I know insurance is very expensive. Thank you.
When
Thank you, Councillor Natar. To explain this further and make it more understandable, we're only looking at the land to give them a rebate on the land, not on the building. And the building burnt down completely, and the tax is supposed to be for the building. So the request is to not pay that. And Councillor Shepherd moved to approve and seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. And the reason is there is no longer a building because it burnt down completely. But the land owned by the city, we would still tax them for the land, but because there's no building now, we would not build them for the building improvements. The owner has insurance for the building. This, we're only looking at the tax payable for the building. And Councillor Shepherd wants to say something.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think you're right there, just saying exactly what I was going to say. You know, I'm not aware of any insurance policy that covers taxes. It'll help you rebuild the building and cover lost income, but there's nothing I'm aware of for the actual property tax. So they still have the land. I'm all in favor for taxing them on the land, but just don't see it as being fair to tax them for a building that isn't there anymore. That's all.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Any more comments or questions on the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. The general fund quarter two budget variance reports. And Peter is still around. He will do the presentation. You're on, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I haven't run away yet. So tonight, I'm floating a bit of a trial balloon for you. I'm presenting second quarter variance reports. We've been playing around with the systems to see how these might look and at what level of information the council would be interested in seeing. So I've packaged together a very high-level overview of the four different funds that we have in the operating budget, just to show you what the variance report could look like and the actual results as of June 30th. So the first report is the general fund, which covers everything that isn't in the other three funds. So it doesn't cover water and sewer, doesn't cover sanitation and or land transactions, but pretty much all the other departments, salaries and expenses and all that, and most of the revenues that we raise ourselves come through the general fund. So at the end of the So as part of the 2025 budget, we budgeted about $44 million in revenue and $46 million in expenses to show that we had a slight deficit planned for the general fund. Now, currently, we've collected about $34 million in revenue, so about 78% of it, and we're a little light on expenses. We're running at about 44.5%, so at the 6-month mark or the 50% mark, we're a little bit light on the expenses. So we're showing that our total expenses are about 43% of where we thought they would be. And so we are showing that the general fund is currently running a bit of a surplus. Now, that's only 6 months into the year. So at the, when we come back again with the finals, that will change. But at least this is what it shows you right now. I've broken down and tried to group the expenses and the revenues into themes so that they're not a long laundry list of all the little types of revenues that we do have. So, you know, government supports, federal and government Inuvuts, property tax are sort of separated out. Expenses are separated between salaries and benefits, which, you know, is the typically the largest chunk of our operating budgets. And then office and other expenses, which cover all the other operating activities that we see. In addition, you'll note that there are what we call reallocations. So if you recall back when we changed the water rates, the idea was to show the true economic cost of what the water and sewer fund would take to run. And so part of that is we agreed to move certain expenses from the operating budget, from the general fund to the water and sewer fund to show, like, for example, if we're clearing roads, there's a road charge, we're moving $1.3 million from Public Works road budget to the water and sewer fund. So that's what these allocations are. Every activity that's in the general fund that can be applied to the water and sewer fund or another fund, we're making those transfers to show that that's the true economic cost for those funds. So at the end of the day, this is what the general fund currently looks like after two quarters, so 6 months of activity. So I'll just pause for a moment if there's any comments or questions before I move on to the next one.
Linda McPeter.
Thank you, Peter. Any comments or questions? Councillor Natak. Yes, thank you. Just a statement or a comment will be first. When the city was in a big deficit for many months, we didn't, I didn't get any honoraria for that time. I don't think the city is in danger of, or any danger of deficits now. And I've been seeing a lot more money coming in. And we have to rely on money to operate. And I just want to favor us looking for more money so we can do other things. So I'm proud and happy to see the results, because at one point the city had no money at all when I was a councillor, and because we were so broke, they could only equipment they had was a pen in council chambers, and I wasn't elected. I was acclaimed, I guess, at that time. And at that time, we started getting more revenue. And today, it looks really good. And we have proper staff to administer it that know what they are doing, that they are professional finance people. I'm very proud of them today. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Natak. Good comment.
That is just a comment. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Peter?
Sorry, thank you for the vote of confidence. It's very much appreciated. I will then move on to the second page of the land fund. In this respect, we did budget $3.2 million in revenue and $3.1 million in expenditures. We expected to have a small surplus in the land fund for the year. Currently, as you can see, the revenues are very light compared to what the expectations were. A lot of that has to do with the gross reserve fund, where expectations were under bylaw, I think 940. The development charges for land development would have fed that. and that those have not had come to pass as yet, and it may be into next year. So we may have overestimated what the expectation was on that based on the information we had last fall. So we're seeing that coming in a little bit light. So overall revenues from land fund, about 11%. And then other expenses are running a little bit on the light side as well. So we are showing a small deficit currently in the land fund. Again, this is sort of halfway through the year, so it's not concerning at this point, but it is something that we're keeping an eye on. I'll move on to the sanitation fund, which is your next next set of reports. This one, the revenues are tracking pretty much bang on at 50.17%. That seems to be a fairly stable revenue stream that seems to be performing as expected. We're a little light on some of the salaries and benefits, again, with some vacancy concerns and issues. So total operating expenses are about 24.9% where they should be, if they wanted to be about 50%. So we are showing, we did plan a small deficit of $1.7 million for this fund. We are running currently at a surplus. And again, as the year progresses, we'll see how that that develops. But for now, I think one of the largest expenses in there is the metal removal programs. And so we haven't got a lot of billings for that as of June, but I think towards the end of the year, you'll see those expenses sort of move up. And that fund will position itself more to where we expected it to in the budget. And then finally, the Water and Sewer Fund. So this is our largest revenue fund. We did raise the piped and all of the water revenues previously, so we were budgeting about $26.6 million and expenditures of about $20 million, $19.9. So we expected to have a $6.6 million surplus. We're currently running with about a $3 million surplus. Revenues are a little lighter than we had expected, running at about 43%, and some of that has to do with some of the commercial billings. So we're looking into that. It may be either a seasonal issue, or it may be that consumption has actually declined in some of these areas and some of the billing just because of the price increases. It's one possibility that we're checking into. Salaries and benefits are tracking about where you'd expect it, pretty close to 50%, but some of the other expenses are a little on the light side. So overall, 43% of the revenues, 42% of the expenses, and we're showing a smaller surplus of about $3 million at this point, but then as the year progresses, as the revenues solidify, we may have a better sense on if we did overestimate, then we'll have the opportunity to correct that in the 2026 operating budget and have something that's a little more accurate. Again, we were basing those estimates on previous consumption levels, and it may be that the impact of the increases may have had some impact on that. And again, we'll have a look at that and have a look at whether that's the case or not. So those are the four funds. Overall, we had budgeted a $3 million surplus for all four funds combined. We're running at about an $18 million surplus currently. Again, that will change, obviously, before the end of the year, but it does seem to be tracking. We're at about 61% of overall revenues and about 41% in overall expenses. So we're compared to all four of them, we're doing reasonably okay. And again, this is more of an update for you to just get a sense on how the city is operating and performing compared to what our budget estimates were sort of halfway through the year. I would be interested in any kind of feedback with respect to the level of detail or how it's presented. If you want to see a single report or if you want to see these four separate reports, if that's simpler or better. I'm open to tailoring this to what your actual needs are. So I'll turn it back to you. Thank you very much.
Going to make Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions or comments? Councillor Shepherd.
Thanks, Peter, for putting these together. I didn't like them at first because I love that standard fund page on our financial statements, the actual financial statement document, but this is literally the exact same information on multiple pages. Once I wrapped my head around that, it was okay. So this, I don't mind the presentation format. I would like to see this quarterly, if it's not too much work on your end, and presented at a finance cal. I think that's the proper destination for the information like this, but the relevant information is here. I don't have any problem with the format. And I think you're a little too modest by saying we're doing relatively okay. These are pretty fairly strong financial results as we anticipated. So thank you for the work.
When I make,
could you? Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. With the question on the quarterly, can you respond to that question, Peter?
Councillor Shepherd, for the question. Yes, I agree. The Finance Cow is the best place for it. Like I said, this is a bit of a trial balloon for now. And yes, certainly we can do quarterly reports. It will be the timing that will be challenging, simply because when, by the time something's closed, we're looking at a couple of months down the road. So, you know, first, second, third quarter for sure, but by the time then it's the end of the year, some are financial statements. So you may not get a fourth quarter variance report. You might actually get the financial statements instead. So, and I'm fine to, again, any feedback offline or if you want to see it simplified as a single pager, I could certainly do that as well. I got no issues. And as far as modesty goes, well, you know, accountants have to be a little bit risk averse and conservative. So, you know, we are trying to manage expectations, and if things work out great, they do. But, you know, we don't want to, you know, create some false expectations. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Your question's been answered, yes, and there was a nod. My question is, as we all know, in the winter, spring, summer, and fall, and the time of the year is always different. Sometimes the spring, there's no kids in school, and there's more people out on the land, particularly spring and summertime, and now everybody's back at school. And everybody working is back at their jobs. Just wanted to make a comment with regard to water and sewer consumption, that there's certainly differences in the users. And I'm wondering if that's ever been considered when you consider forecasting at 40%. And do you consider if there's going to be more users at certain times of the year? Thank you. If you could respond to that, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And yes, we do look at, we do year-over-year comparisons on a monthly basis, and we're trying to see if, like you say, the usage patterns are higher in the winter and lower in the summer. But at the reverse side, you have more tourism and you have more people coming in as well. So there's some, in some elements, like in the residential, there's less variation, and in the commercial, there might be more. And so we're looking at that to understand if the, if it's the same seasonal pattern, but maybe consumption is lower, or a combination of those. But absolutely, we do look at, just as you explained, those usage patterns based on the time of year. Thank you.
Peter.
Thank you, Peter. And I believe there's no more questions. And you have another comment, Peter? Let's move forward. And we also have another information item regarding property tax exemption. For those that want exemption, we're on item 9D, and Peter's here. You have the floor again.
So when we passed the bylaw 1001 for property tax exemption, we did commit to come back twice a year to report to council on the status of the program. So this is our first opportunity to come back. So as of September 30th, we've had three applications for relief under this bylaw. The Iqaluit Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses, the Iqaluit Pentecostal Church, and the Islamic Society of Nunavut. So we've been able to grant $88,000 in property tax relief to those organizations. There's an annual cap of $300,000 for this program, so we have a remaining amount of $211,000. We do have a few more applications in the pipeline right now that we're reviewing. We have tried to understand why people weren't coming forward and asking for free money. So we did issue a PSA in March, and then we, after we passed the bylaw, we reissued it in September, again, to remind everyone. And we've mailed out letters to everyone who had been on the list before and say, hey, you know, here's the new application form, here's how it works, here's what you have to do. So we have had a few people reach out and are in various stages of completing the application. And then we'll just see how it plays out. Then we will report on the program again after the end of the fiscal year so you can see how it worked. And that's it. Thank you.
Going to make Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Questions, comments? I don't see any. And this was more an information item. Sorry, Deputy Mayor Smith.
And thank you for this, Peter. Just wanted to comment more on, glad to hear there's more in the pipeline, because I notice this is a pretty short list, especially some of the groups that have been more vocally against us doing this were notably not on the list. So you kind of answered it as you were speaking, but I was wondering if there's like a administration like barrier or what's going on. So I'm happy to hear that things are working their way through. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And now Peter? No? Okay. Any questions, comments? I don't see none. Let's now move along on our new business, number 9D, discussion item, the Inuit Nunangat University. It's an expression of interest, and the floor is now with Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, Council. Discussion item in your package, I won't go through it in detail, from Nathan Obed, President of ITK, on gauging Council's interest on entering a competition that would be proposal-based that the administration and staff can work on if Council provides direction this evening. Your motion, if you choose to pursue, we would have to get in by October 30, and the detailed proposal would have to be submitted by the end of November. If there's any questions or comments, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shepherd.
I'm incredibly in support of proceeding with registering our intent and willingness to host Inuit Nunangat University. I think Iqaluit is the logical home for a facility like this. We have the infrastructure in place already and growing to best serve a facility like this, and I would unreservedly make a motion to proceed with an expression of interest to submit a proposal by the end of November.
I'm going to make...
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Moved and moved by Councillor Shepherd, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. And we will move to seek our submission or proceed with our submission. Any questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? And it's unanimous. Thank you. And now we will move forward to our agenda. And Deputy Mayor Smith has the floor.
Mayor Awa, for the Planning and Development Committee report from meeting number 7 on October 21st. First item, for PD 25-47, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Seconder. Moved by Councillor Kunuk. Questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, for item PD 25-48, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? Unanimous. Deputy Mayor Smith.
25-49, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Any seconder? Councillor Shepherd moves, or seconds rather. Questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? And unanimous. Deputy Mayor Smith.
PD 25-50, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? Opposed? Oh, you approved. Okay, unanimous. Deputy Mayor Smith.
PD 25-51, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Seconds that. Questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? And unanimous. Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Committee McMayor Awa, for PD 25-52, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Councillor Kunuk seconds. Questions, comments? I don't see none. All those in favor? And unanimous. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Mayor Awa, for the last one here, item PD 25-53, the committee recommends that council, as per the report, I will move.
Moved by Deputy Mayor, seconded by Councillor Shepherd.
A bit of a change of heart. I just wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit. So this involves a densification on a lot in Apex. And I struggled with this a lot since we reviewed this last week and talked to a lot of residents in the area, and there's a lot of opposition to this. At the same time, you know, this is the type of housing that we need to see more of in our community, but it needs to be done in the right place. You know, I've been a big advocate for housing by nearly any means necessary. We've seen densification in the core, and I support that densification almost unreservedly in that area. We also have situations like Jomie Court, where sections of new development that was intended specifically for single-family homes has been completely overtaken by four or more plexes. Densification has occurred in Apex already, and I think it's reaching a point where it's been enough. The nature of the area is one, you know, it's a neighborhood that should be, you know, retained, similar to a decision council made on a development in Happy Valley a little while ago. So, you know, that being said, this is a type of development I really, really like. I just feel that it needs to be in the right location, and I don't believe the proposed location is the correct one. So I will not be voting in favor to move this forward, to have administration go through the work of developing a bylaw and calling for a public hearing and requiring the residents of Apex to come here to tell us what we already know.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Shepherd, for his comments. I don't disagree with almost anything that you said at all. The reason I want to move forward with this is because I do want to have the opportunity for the public hearing. I think we know a lot of what we're going to hear, but like one of the things I've been advocating for in my time on council since the beginning is town halls and more opportunities for residents to come and speak to us. And we just don't have that opportunity very often. So that's the main reason I want to see this move forward, is I want people to have that opportunity to come and speak to us, because, you know, they can see us on the street and they can talk to us that way. But I think it's a great opportunity for them to get their feelings and their, you know, their views and vision for their neighborhoods on the record. So I think that that's something that I really value and I want to hear. So that's, I will remain in favor of proceeding to first reading and public hearing, but that is my rationale. So thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Did you second that, Councillor Shepherd?
Against this at committee, I'll continue to vote against it today. I just wanted to, I didn't speak at committee as to why, so I will echo Councillor Shepherd's points, especially about the development being three-bedroom apartments, which I am always pushing for, but that it's just not in the right place.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson.
Any other question?
And it was seconded by Shepherd. All those in favor?
She must defeat it. Put it back to the staff.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, for your summary of your motions. And now we don't have any agenda on the confidentiality. We don't have any items.
Adjournment.
For adjournment. Moved by Councillor Natal, seconded by Councillor Tilley. All those in favor? And unanimous. Thank you, interpreters, for attending. And thank you for the public that came out to see the meeting. Thank you. Have a good evening, everyone.